As part of next year's defense authorization bill, the House has voted to make one of the biggest organizational changes to the U.S. military in decades, removing space missions from the Air Force and giving them to a brand new military service, the U.S. Space Corps. The idea's fate is uncertain for now. It's strongly opposed by the Trump administration, and it has not received a warm reception in the Senate. But proponents say it's the only way to make sure space gets its fair share of the Pentagon budget. Retired Air Force Colonel Coyote Smith is one of those proponents. He's a professor of strategic space studies at the School of Graduate Professional Military Education at the Air University. He tells me the idea has been studied since at least 2001, when the Rumsfeld Commission released its recommendations on how to raise the military profile of space.
The Rumsfeld Commission came at an interesting time. It occurred back in the, it began back in the late 1990s, at a time when Senator Bob Smith from New Hampshire was making arguments that we needed to have an independent space force. And that resulted largely in the Rumsfeld study, or blew wind into its sails, I should say. It was a much anticipated and highly expected report in the space community when it came out. It did document an awful lot of the difficulties that the Air Force had experienced in managing space programs. And I have to give the Air Force a little bit of an apology here, because the Air Force always has things that happen during the course of a year that weren't in the planned budget. And oftentimes, when that happens, they have to go to their secondary and third order missions to take funds in order to accomplish their primary mission of air power. And Congress had seen that happen a number of times, and space programs simply weren't, they were very turbulent because they didn't have a stable budget environment. The Rumsfeld Commission noticed that. They also stated that while they felt significant changes were needed, they recommended several changes, and the Air Force would implement them. But then after 9/11, the Air Force reneged and backed up and reversed course on those recommendations. I think one of the things that was unfortunate about the Rumsfeld Commission is it did make recommendations that it was the last chance for the Air Force to get it right, and if it didn't, that it would expect that in the future an independent service or a corps would evolve. And then to advance the clock, the Allard Commission, done later after the turn of the millennium, found made the same findings and the same recommendations, but it was largely not acted on by the Air Force. And then when we take a look as the clock advances forward to today, you have members of the House Armed Services Committee experiencing tremendous turmoil in space programs under the Air Force management and stewardship. And so Congressman Mike Rogers, along with his ranking member of the HASC in the Subcommittee on Strategic Forces, did almost a year-long study and conducted a tremendous number of interviews. Congressman Rogers mentioned that virtually everyone that they spoke with always made the comment that they believed that a space force would be necessary at some point in the future, but none of them made any recommendations for when that might be.
As far as the broader pattern here, with space missions sort of taking a backseat to other Air Force missions, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but one of the arguments you seem to be making is that it's not because the Air Force is malevolent or acting in a sinister fashion. It's that air power and space power are competing priorities, and space is always going to lose if the air guys are in charge of it.
That's precisely the point that I made in the paper, and that's also precisely the point that Congressman Rogers made in his comments before the House Armed Services Committee in putting the mark into the bill.
So this idea is universally hated within at least the leadership at the Pentagon. Secretary Mattis wrote a letter to Congress just a couple weeks ago, and I'll just read a quick passage from it. He says it would likely present a narrower and even parochial approach to space operations, vice an integrated one, like we're constructing under our current approach. He also says it would just add unnecessary bureaucracy and overhead. Why is the secretary wrong in your judgment?
Well, first of all, I don't think the secretary is wrong. I simply don't think he has all the facts lined up in front of him. I think if we were to present if a different community of people were to advise him, he probably would come up with a different solution to the problem. Congressman Rogers has been really quite clear that he'd like to give the Air Force 6 months to figure out how to make it a cost-neutral as possible option. He wants to keep the Air Force family together an Air Force with a Space Corps to it, much as the Marine Corps is to the Navy, would keep the Air Force's family, its industrial base, its operations centers, its method of integration with the joint forces together. What a Space Corps would do that would be different is with an independent budget and with independent personnel, it would give space experts the opportunity to focus exclusively on advancing American space power as far as it possibly can. Any argument that it will add cost, add bureaucracy, or make it more difficult to integrate those forces is simply not true. In the case of cost, space professionals would probably, I'm just making an assumption. I would assume most space professionals would accept a 10% cut in the overall space budget if they could have assurances that whatever money is marked for space in the original budget actually gets executed on space instead of getting reapportioned after the turn of the fiscal year into programs, into aircraft or other related programs. The other piece of this is the idea that it would create additional bureaucracy. Well, no. If you take a look at the chart of how many offices across the OSD, the Joint Staff and the Air Staff, and the Office of the Secretary of the Air Force have responsibilities split for space, you come to see that what had happened is the Air Force treated space as if it were just some type of support function that could just be divided up amongst all the offices to represent space in those offices. And that's just not the case, because space has a separate operating motif, separate type of operating style. You don't manage a space program the way you manage an aviation program, and that's largely what the Air Force has done. The personnel savings would just be tremendous. Right now, space professionals are scattered across the Air Staff and Joint Staff and the OSD staff. And in mind, consolidating a smaller number of those under a commandant of the Space Corps at the Pentagon would put all of our space options in one sock. And you would have a dedicated, now if you want to use the term bureaucracy in a positive manner, a bureaucracy has a negative connotation because we think of the word no associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, if you created a space staff, you would have a momentum going forward to constantly advance American space power. And by taking it out from underneath the chief of staff of the Air Force, you would have a very fundamentally different culture inside Air Force Space Command than what we have inside Air Force Space Command. The mantra that Air Force Space Command operates under today is support to the warfighter. And that is drummed into the heads of our space operators because they're trained as airmen. And their job is to support air power. And whatever other things the Joint Forces Air Component Commander would like to share with the other joint partners and combined partners as well. And space has many, many more missions that it performs every single day. You just take a look at the pervasive effect of GPS. You take a look at the global information grid that is kept up largely with the communication satellites that the Air Force operates, leases or loans. And you see that there's a 24/7, 365-day mission that does not include support to the warfighters that our space personnel are actually performing every day. The aircraft side of the house, the flying side of the Air Force, does two things. They fight wars, and they train and educate to fight wars. And the space role and mission is very different than that. The role, the proper role for American space power is much more like a maritime role, much like the Navy at sea supports commerce every day. That's the same thing that space forces do. We support commerce every day in ways that are very different than what air power does. This trickles down into a misalignment or a misapplication, rather, of air power theory to space and of air power doctrine to space.
Colonel, last thing, somebody could make the case that, you know, if space is a redheaded stepchild in the Air Force, it's not the only one, you know. Close air support, air mobility, even you could argue that those have gotten a lot less love than air superiority fighters. But I don't think anyone would seriously propose at this point that you break off close air support and make it its own service. So why is space so different than that?
Space is so different because space is so different from the air. It's an entirely different operating regime and a medium. It includes everything else in the universe. The concentration of The Air Force, of course, is on air power. And all of those air power missions that fall underneath air power, including the missions you cited, like close air support and others, they have one thing in common, the air and flying. But we do not have air, and we do not fly in space. And the operating foundations, fundamentals of space operations are so entirely different than operating in the air medium that it requires a unique cadre of highly specialized people to do it right.